The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
One of those idiots who believes in analytics. Good Friday morning to you. It is Gil Alexander. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Not just me, though. Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. How you doing, Kelly? Good morning to you, sir.
Doing well. You know, the gremlins getting into the wires overnight and stuff, so we're
It's a little
hiccups around the VSiN studios. We're figuring everything out, though.
A little behind the curtains. Here's how this works. There's just complete mayhem behind the glass, ladies and gentlemen, and I just tell them, I said, the show's going to happen, guys. It's over. It's okay on this side. But Kelly, Kevin, the corner, struggling. Joe Namath once famously said.
We got great Dakota, who directs the show about once a week on Fridays, and he comes in today, and the board's not working, so he's doing the whole thing with a mouse. So that takes talent right there, I'll tell you that much.
Thank you, Dakota. We have a show nonetheless. Dan Weston joins us in studio to talk Wimbledon a little later on. Always great to have Dano in from across the pond, hanging out, doing his thing. Kind enough to join us later on. Tim Lawson, host of the Better Life podcast. We'll talk U.S. Women's World Cup with him. Why, you say, are we talking Women's World Cup today? Well, after Monday, I'm bouncing for a couple weeks, and so Timmy wanted to do it with me here. Women's World Cup starts in about 2 weeks. He'll have thoughts, as will Paul Carr, but Paul Carr's got Gold Cup thoughts as well. For your soccer action, Jason Weingarten on Major League Baseball from under a cloud of smoke. Lou Finocchiaro, Gambaloo. Sweet Lou on UFC 290, pretty good card this week, and he's got thoughts and bets to share with us, both, I would imagine, not only on the main card, but Brett Lawler's also is competing as well, I believe. Is that the case as well? Actual main card, but on the prelim, Robbie Lawler. By the way, Brett Lawson was a producer here at VSiN, which is why I mixed that up.
He combined the two.
Yes, I apologize for that. Robbie Lawler. I was like, why did I say Brett Lawler? Oh, yeah, producer. Robbie Lawler will be on the prelim card, so he'll have thoughts on the Lawler-Nico Price fight, of course. Welterweight fight. Robbie Lawler's final fight of his career, but obviously the main event, Alexander Volkanovski and Yair Rodriguez. So thoughts on that from Lou. And you know, so much else going on. Summer League. Summer League begins today in Las Vegas. A full Summer League breakdown next segment. I think I've narrowed down to a bet or two, to be quite honest with you.
Okay.
This is actually one of these events. I know, like, you know, there's going to be a segment of the audience that hears that. They're like, oh, are you really betting Summer League? Listen, this is a 11-day event where 76 games are played in their entirety. All teams compete. You have as good a chance to hit a long shot in this event as you do in anything. Or is this the year where the short shot actually comes in? We'll talk about it here. Victor Wembanyama's debut tonight. I'm in the house. How early do I need to get to the Wembanyama game to actually get good seats, general admission?
That's a great question.
After the show?
Well, there'll be a game on before it, too.
Right.
Right?
So I think you have to show up for that one. And not leave your seat.
Man, I think you got to be there by, you should be there by 3.
Oh,
to be safe.
Stop it. There's no chance I'm there by 3. There's no way. And then, of course, we have to get into the most Vegas story of all time. Wembanyama and Britney Spears meet, and it didn't go well. We'll get into that as well. By the way, you see the Brooks Koepka thing? This is like hot goss to start the show.
I was going to say, I could talk about this stuff for an hour.
All right, we'll get into all that.
Where you want to go first?
Let's talk about tennis first. I have a tennis bet still to come today. We only had two. The card today was not nearly as juicy betting wise as previous ones, as Wimbledon tries to get on schedule once and for all today. So we hit our earlier match. Those who subscribe to VSiN.com/picks, our picks page at VSiN.com/picks. We had a winner this morning on Stojanovic, straight set winner on the ladies' side. She was -136. It was not easy, 7-5, 7-5 against Korpach of Germany, but that was a winner for us this morning. We do have Andy Murray up 2-1, pending from yesterday. By the way, the plus 312 dog, or plus 350, whatever it was, did not get home with Mannarino. Medvedev beat him in straight sets, but hopefully Andy Murray can get home against Tsitsipas when that resumes, whenever it resumes, by the way. That's always a dicey proposition to try to pin down a time.
Wild ending to that third set that was.
Yeah, it was one set apiece. Murray had a match point and screamed in pain. when he tried to shift direction.
I was working at my desk. I heard it before I saw it. Wow. I heard the Andy Murray scream.
So, of course, those of us who had bets on Murray, the first thing, because, of course, bettors, sorry, this is going to be a theme on the show, how bettors are just like the worst people on earth, so I apologize for that. But we see things through our bets, and obviously we don't want anybody hurt in any sport, whether we're on that player or against that player, or on that team or against that team. But in the Murray case, of course, I'm like, oh, great, this is how this is going to end. It's just going to be a refund, whatever. He had one more match point now. He got up.
Set point.
Set point, pardon me, set point, thank you, set point. He had one more set point, and thankfully, for those who are on Murray with us, was able to win that point, lickety-split. So he's up 2-1. The question becomes, you know, because all of these delays, all these suspensions have all gone against us. Like, that's been the fly in the ointment more than anything in this tournament. So hopefully, this is a weird one because, I don't know, maybe it's good for him with that injury that he had time now, because there was some sense with 20 minutes left before curfew that they would start the fourth set, and Murray seemed to be the one who was upset that the fact that they didn't start it, even yeah. after whatever he did, tweak his groin. I'm no doctor. I don't know what he did.
That's what it appeared yeah. to be, though. What yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
It appeared to be a tweaking of a groin, ladies and gentlemen. So the only other tennis play left today, pre-flop, that has not happened, I am on Marie Buskova against Caroline Garcia. Marie Buskova, I got a plus 104. She's only a few pennies worse than that right now. I think she's like plus 100 consensus. Her grass numbers are such that this should probably be a coin flip at worst. She might even, by my numbers, be a slight favorite. So wrong player favored is always a good proposition. That has worked for us very well this tournament as well. So hopefully you can get Murray home, and hopefully Buskova can come home, and then we'll go into the weekend where everybody can start playing, you know, on schedule once again, because first round just sort of finished yesterday. Second round is, you know, staggering in today. Third round matches will begin. I don't even know where we are at this point on some of these. It's been a confusing tournament in terms of the schedule. So Buskova, the remaining tennis play of the day. Now, the other injury that happened in sports that has huge sports betting implications, this one much more. So Corbin Carroll, for the second time in a span of days, hurts his shoulder. Corbin Carroll, and by the way, the Diamondbacks lose to the Mets 9-0. First time they've been shut out this year. First time they've lost four in a row this year. First time they've been swept this year. And then in literally injury to insult, Corbin Carroll goes down with a shoulder injury. This was a changeup from Carlos Carrasco in the seventh inning. And Corbin Carroll swung and immediately grabbed his right arm, held it close to his body. It looked awful. Right shoulder discomfort. But remember, this is on the heels of us coming in here a couple days ago and saying, and this one I watched live, I believe it was against the Padres, where it was an innocuous swing, and then they showed him in the dugout having shoulder discomfort, and they put him back in the game, and then they pulled him after a half inning, and the Diamondbacks after the game were like, yeah, it doesn't appear to be as serious as it looked, whatever. Well, they looked serious last night, and badly so. Keep in mind, this is the same arm / shoulder. This is the same shoulder, if it is in fact a shoulder injury, that in 2021, he had to have surgery on, repairing a posterior capsular avulsion and labrum tear. For young Corbin Carroll, who going into last night's game, as he has been now for most of the season, the favorite to win the National League Rookie of the Year. So those of us with Ellie De La Cruz tickets, and I'll preface it again by saying you never want to see anybody get hurt, whether you have a bet or not. So I don't want anybody coming after us, but this is a sports betting network, and in case you haven't figured it out by now, we do see everything through our wagers, and that's what people are here to listen for. So I hope those with Ellie De La Cruz bets, or I hope those who are thinking of getting Ellie De La Cruz bets had gotten them already. We have a 30-1. I have a 30-1. Also have a plus 650 on top of that. People have much better odds than I did, even at 30-1. Ellie De La Cruz, I was even texting Will Hill and Felica even before this injury last night to Carroll. To me, he's still the NL Rookie of the Year. And Corbin Carroll, by every measure, was having a great season. 18 home runs, 46 RBI, 24 stolen bases, a slash of .290, .365, and .559. 3.7 war. I mean, he's been having a great year, but part of the argument with Ellie De La Cruz versus Corbin Carroll, well, the one that's unassailable is Corbin Carroll's played a whole bunch more actual baseball games. But the other one was, well, look, the Diamondbacks are winning their division. You know, the Reds aren't. Well, that has shifted, right? Well, the Reds are now 10 games above 500, and they lead the NL Central, and it is the Diamondbacks now teetering. The Diamondbacks, who only have a half-game lead over the LA Dodgers and a two-and-a-half-game lead over the Magic, that is the San Francisco Giants. So the Carroll injury, potentially, and again, the reviews from the Diamondbacks, when I say reviews, I shouldn't, they are going to image this today. But so far, they can't really figure out what's wrong. So they're really optimistic in Arizona. However, if this turns out to be something, and he is out for an extended period of time, and God forbid the rest of the year, not only does it affect the NL Rookie of the Year race, and Ellie De La Cruz becomes the instantaneous favorite. By the way, you won't see that market up now. But when it comes up, if there's any plus money, I know I have much better numbers, but I would almost recommend any plus money bet on De La Cruz. For MVP, he was, for much of this, he was the second short shot behind Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Braves. It doesn't really affect that. Yes, everybody moves up a notch if the injury is extended. But again, to me, it's still Acuna's to lose by far. And even my bet of Arias, even I will admit, even if Arias were to hit 400 at this point, if Acuna is going 40 and 70 homers and stolen bases, maybe even 400, hitting 400 won't get it done. So it doesn't affect the MVP race as much, but certainly the NL West as well. And so I have a Giants plus 1050. Even if you're not a Giants believer like I am, maybe at the very least in these three betting markets, it induces an immediate Dodgers bet for you, depending on what that price is affordably right now. Right now, the Dodgers minus 185. Maybe you don't see that ever again. We'll come back. Summer League next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. If physically located in Nevada, please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house here this morning, as always. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Before we get into Rookie League actual betting thoughts, so in case you missed it, and this happened, I guess the reports came right after we got off the air yesterday morning, but Victor Wembanyama and his detail... Is that what we use now, Kelly? His detail?
Security detail,
his
yes.
His entourage. They were headed into catch over at the Aria, which is literally like a 9-iron away from where I live. Like, I've probably walked that spot 10 times a week for the last 6 years.
I'm looking at new pictures provided by TMZ. Gil Alexander not featured.
Not featured.
Yes, not featured.
We were at the Italian American Club with Felica that night, yeah. So we were not on the premises. So Britney Spears, yes, Britney Spears. This is such a Vegas story.
It's such an NBA offseason story and such a Vegas story.
And I won't even go through the details because it's not that important. But depending on who you believe, Britney Spears, you know, she claims to have barely, you know,
tapped his shoulder. Which I'm questioning that.
Wembanyama says his like back was sort of tugged at. I don't know what he said exactly, but the bottom line is, Wembanyama's security, which was referred to in the first TMZ article as the Spurs security, so that's a little question. We don't really know that either.
TMZ's follow-up today does, it's the head of team security.
Okay, so that's different, because then you can't really go off on some young kid who's now got this new job, you know, protecting Victor Wembanyama. It's the Spurs guy, and he went ahead and slapped Britney Spears, by all accounts. And again, depending on what you believe, either they made up while in catch the restaurant at the Aria, and then Britney Spears went ahead and charged him anyway afterwards. And the Las Vegas police is taking this seriously.
Yeah, she has filed charges, yeah. And they are apparently police are meeting with her again this morning to discuss it further.
Anyway, that has nothing to do with anything.
Just that
Summer League.
But she had some comment about not getting any kind of apology, and then Wembanyama did record like a sort of apology, just because I think I kind of feel bad for him, Gil, because I don't think he has any idea what happened.
He has no idea what happened.
Like, by all accounts, there was a massive crowd of people, and he's kind of just getting through it.
Who knows if he even knows who Britney Spears is?
That we were talking about that downstairs. Crunch the numbers on that match.
Who knows if this...
Fame window had far surpassed by the time he was even born.
Who knows if the Spurs security person even recognized those Britney Spears. The best part of the story, we'll leave it at this, there were reports that she... said to have screamed in a British accent. Have you heard this part of the story?
No, I did not hear that part. No.
Yes. Apparently, he tapped him on his back or the right shoulder. First of all, you know, trying to catch his attention. But, excuse me, sir. Excuse me. And then got slapped. And then in a louder British accent, this is effing America. So I don't know.
That's a very odd detail.
So Summer League begins today, and Wembanyama will play for the Spurs. It's Brandon Miller versus Victor Wembanyama head-to-head, the Hornets and the Spurs. That is the big one, 6 p.m. Eastern. Excuse me, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, from Thomas and Mack. And Summer League has, again, 11 days of basketball, 76 total basketball games. And the format, again, every team will play 4 games. Then the 4 best teams, and there are tiebreakers involved, head-to-head being the first one. The best 4 teams will get to the final 4. They will play a 5th and 6th game, 6th if they get to the championship. All the other teams that have played 4 but didn't make the final 4 will get a 5th game added. That's the format of Summer League, all 30 teams represented. And if you go, you can bet on these everywhere, or most shops, I shouldn't say everywhere, but NBA Summer League. Only one of the last 5 champions entered the competition as favorites. That was the Lakers in 2017. And over the last 4 years, no team with odds shorter than 12-1 has won. 2 of the last 3 winners were 30-1 when the event tipped off. Thank you to the Score for compiling that. Now, this is at Caesars. The Oklahoma City Thunder are your short shot at 6-1. Could they be the team that bucks that latest trend and becomes sort of like the Lakers in 2017? And the reason I say could they be that team, because the Thunder, Kelly, will have Chet Holmgren in uniform, and they will have both Jalen Williams in uniform.
Yeah, Trey Mann's been playing incredible.
Trey Mann will be there too.
In their few games. Cason Wallace, they'll finally get. He will play in Vegas, hasn't played for the team yet, as the trade details were going through from draft night. Like, they're the rightful short shots, Gil, with all those guys they're rolling out there. The question is, and this is a question every summer league, with some of these guys that especially have played already, of how many games are they going to play? How long are they going to play?
Which is where depth comes into play, mm-hmm. because of what you're saying. The more it becomes just a body count if you have depth, which, by the way, is why the second shot, the Trailblazers at plus 850, and they will have Scoot Henderson playing from Vegas Ignite, Chris Murray from Iowa, Shaedon Sharpe is playing for the Blazers. He averaged just under 10 points his rookie season. But they don't have depth like OKC does. So even though they're top heavy, would you make a bet on the Blazers? By the way, for those who care about such thing, the Blazers have won 2 of the last 4 summer leagues. So as an organization, they appear to care. So that's plus 850 on the Blazers. So throw that in the mix. And then the Pistons, who are the only other one in single digits. Pistons are deep, too. Ivey, Jalen Duren, Asur Thompson, James Wiseman, all playing. Their starting lineup might be Ivey, Thompson, Marcus Sasser. Duren, Wiseman, you know who else might play? Isaiah Livers might play.
Little Buddy Boeheim action.
Oh, Buddy Boeheim.
Did you say Wiseman? Yeah,
I did.
Wiseman's on that roster.
Yeah, I did.
It's going to be really interesting to see how much Jaden Ivey plays and Shaedon Sharpe. I mean, those guys were two big draftees from last year. Had decent rookie seasons. The question is, are they going to get a lot of run this summer league or a short amount? Otherwise, if I knew for sure, those two teams would be catch-em eyes. The teams that I wrote down that I would have even – the only teams I feel like I could bet, and yes, they're shorter shots.
But you do agree that those three should be the short shots.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Thunder, Blazers, yes. Pistons.
The teams I wrote down that I could even make a case for betting, Blazers, Pistons, Rockets, Pacers, Thunder, Jazz.
Well, the Rockets are interesting because I was going to bring them up too. The Rockets are 16-1. If it doesn't come from the top three, despite what those historical numbers I mentioned are, the Rockets appear to be that team because the Rockets will have Amen Thompson, who of course was drafted fourth. Remember, Cam Whitmore slipped to them at 20. He's playing. Jabari Smith, who was the number three pick in the draft last year, he's playing. They don't have much depth, though.
It's not a lot of depth. So you're going to have those three and Tari Eason, who played last year a lot of minutes, too, for that team. Question is, okay, not a lot of depth, and how much are you going to see of Jabari Smith and Tari Eason, considering they played as much as they did last year? I would expect you're going to see a ton of Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore, because we're talking about one guy who slid in the draft in Cam Whitmore, but everybody loves his upside. And then Amen Thompson, just like his brother Asar, man, I think they need all the playing time they can get.
Oh, yeah. The other team I want to mention was the Kings. The Kings are listed at 14-1, and those who are paying close attention to Summer League, before they play in Las Vegas, they play in Sacramento. And Keegan Murray just scored a combined 70 points in two games in the Sacramento Summer League, and the Kings beat the Warriors and the Heat. However, Keegan Murray will not play in Vegas. So that's a development there for the Kings. They just announced that this morning.
See, like, that's the stuff you got to look out for. And I would be very careful with that, checking with the Thunder on that before Las Vegas stuff gets started.
So this falls, you know, we talk about it all the time when we talk drafts, when we talk everything sports betting on this show, which is there's different, right? I just gave you a tennis pick. It's all based on data. Not all, but most of it is based on the numbers itself. That's how I do tennis. Kelly does golf, modeling it. This is really an information grab, right? It's like you got to know who's going to play the most, whatever you can glean in terms of playing time. It's not the easiest thing in the world with Summer League, right, to get a straight answer on that from game to game. But those, what we just went through, those are generally the teams that are the most stacked, and it's reflected in the odds. And yes, long shots have hit, but I really feel like the Thunder, Blazers, or Pistons, I kind of feel like, and I would throw in the Rockets, but I feel like the champ is likely to come from that group.
Yeah, I agree.
Would you make a heavy wager? I mean, 6-1 plus 850 plus 950 and 14-1, Thunder, Blazers, Pistons, Rockets, 16-1 Rockets. Would you make a heavy bet on one of those?
In full transparency, Gil, I'll probably bet two of these, but I'm going to be out there basically all week next week. That's a large part of the reason. If I was sitting at home, I don't know that I would be. I'd probably be taking it. I mean, I'd be watching it anyways, but betting-wise, I'd probably just be taking it game to game looking for information that you can get.
Looking for information. Or, you know, if you're lucky enough to attend one of these games, there might be an in-play opportunity here or there, if you know what I mean. If you hear what I'm screaming, you hear what I'm putting down, serious sports bettors. We'll come back. Paul Carr on the Gold Cup and the Women's World Cup, where the U.S. is looking good by all accounts. We'll see what Paul thinks next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we've already released our NFL Betting Guide. Our NFL Betting Guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 to get your digital copy of the VSiN NFL Betting Guide, or take advantage of our summer kickoff special to get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. Well, at the risk of sounding like we're doing gossip all morning with the Britney Spears, Victor Wembanyama thing, Brooks Koepka and Matthew Wolf, or should I just say Brooks Koepka?
Yeah.
So apparently, Liv, for those who have been following this, apparently Brooks Koepka's team is called Smash GC. And apparently there's a rift between Koepka and Matthew Wolf. And it's past the point of no return. So Wolf shows up in London. There's an event outside of London off of a 44th place finish in Spain. It's his fifth consecutive poor showing, which includes a withdrawal from the event in D.C. in May and prior to the final round, where he was 46th out of 48 players after 36 holes. So Koepka launches into him. Quote, I mean, when you quit on your round, you give up and stuff like that. That's not competing. The Smash GC captain said to Sports Illustrated, I'm not a big fan of that. You don't work hard. It's very tough. It's very tough to have even like a team dynamic when you've got one guy that won't work. One guy's not going to give any effort. He's going to quit on the course, break clubs, gets down, bad body language. It's very tough. I've basically given up on him. A lot of talent, but I mean, the talent's wasted. It's your boy.
Tell us how you feel, Brooks.
Go get your boy, Brooks Koepka. And as you pointed out off air, Kelly, said.
It's, I mean, like, whoever all of us, we all saw that Brooks Koepka was going to play on a team of any kind. Like,
that's right.
Pick the worst person in sports to play on a team. Like, it so has bad. To be Brooks Koepka. Like, that guy's out to win no matter what. The only thing that's kind of bad about this is, like, Matthew Wolf, just to put this in perspective, like, an amazing talent a few years ago, had everything in front of him. He took a break from the game to deal with some anxiety issues and mental health
issues.
And
Koepka's launching
into him. And Koepka's just going at him. So maybe Brooks doesn't know about some of that stuff, but... Or maybe he's just Brooks, yep.
Yeah. So, things are great on the Live Tour. That's your Live update,
that's your
everybody.
Live update.
Let's talk some soccer. Paul Carr joins us from the heart of the country, Topeka, Kansas. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr. He's the host of the Expected Value podcast, works at True Media Sports. How you doing, Paul? Good to see you, man.
I'm good, Gil. I was actually at the Aria when I was out there for Nations League, but I was too early for all the drama, unfortunately.
Yeah, man, we all missed it.
Goodness.
Yeah, boy, what a Vegas story that is.
It's so Vegas.
I hope those kids work it out.
That's right.
Okay, here's the first question. And again, this is let's act like, what's the old Denzel Washington line in Philadelphia? Explain this to me like I'm a two-year-old. Explain the Gold Cup to us like we're all two-year-olds. What is this?
This is the Continental Championship for CONCACAF, so North, Central America, and the Caribbean. It's the North American equivalent of Euros or Copa America. It's all the 30-some-odd teams in this region playing for a title.
Okay, but why did then we look up at a screen the other day and see Qatar playing in this? Or someone, didn't we see Qatar playing in this?
Yeah, they brokered some kind of deal to participate in a couple of these. Not totally unusual. You know, South America does it sometimes to get to a round number of teams for tournament purposes. I mean, there were definitely bags of money involved, you know, with the World Cup and things like that. But yeah, they've done a couple of these.
That makes sense now. Okay, well, there's Qatar in the odds to win the Gold Cup, the CONCACAF Gold Cup, where Mexico is the short shot. They have been the short shot in many years past. They're plus 125. USA, that's us, Paulie. We're plus 275, plus 275 on USA. Canada, 7-1, and Panama, the only other side in single digits at 9-1, Jamaica, Costa Rica, Qatar, and Guatemala also listed on the page if you're watching at vsin.com or the VSIN app right now or wherever you can see us. So there's a bet here, sir?
If you can get Jamaica at a better price, and I seen 16-1s out there this morning, that I think is kind of appealing. Jamaica's got a whole front line of players from the Premier League, you know, they have some dudes is kind of what we would say in other sports. They've got dudes. They've got guys. They drew the U.S. In the group stage. You know, I'm not saying they're the best team left, but at that kind of price, even though they probably have to get through Mexico and the U.S., they've got the guys that could do it. You're taking a shot, of course, but they've got a good coach. They've got some good talent. This is their, you know, best chance to make a run.
And when would they, if they got out of the group stage, when do they play Mexico?
So they would play Mexico in the semis. So quarters are coming up next. Okay. And the semis is where they would presumably run to Mexico, assuming both win. And then the U.S. would potentially be in the final.
So you're not talking much about the USA. What's the deal with our side here?
I mean, they're right priced at the second favorite. This is not the A team. This is not the same guys that played in Nations League. Very few of these guys play in Europe. So most of these guys are MLS based. It's kind of it's a B team. You know, if the U.S. had a World Cup to play tomorrow, there'd be a few guys from the squad that would make it. But generally, this is not the best U.S. team, and Mexico is closer to full strength than the U.S. is.
That explains it. Okay. Do we have a single game pick perhaps here?
I do like in the USA quarterfinal coming up on Sunday. U.S. is playing Canada. I like under 2.5 at minus 120 or so. Canada is just kind of a bit more of a conservative team. And they don't have their full roster either, but their best players in Europe are all in the attacking side, and most of those guys aren't here. So I expect Canada to kind of keep it tight, try to steal a goal, which is what Canada usually does. They just don't have the talent to do that they often do. And the U.S., kind of a similar boat where, you know, they're a decent team. Scoring's a little bit of a question mark, even though they piled up a lot of goals in the group stage. So I think it'll be pretty tight. I like under 2.5 at minus 120.
Okay, let us shift to the Women's World Cup because a little less than 2 weeks from now, this will be the biggest global sporting event going, and it's the USA that is the short shot at plus 250. England, Spain, Germany, France coming in right behind the USA. Before we get into specifics of what you're betting here, just sort of give us the overall sort of thumbnail of the U.S. Women's World Cup, when it starts, when these matches will actually be played stateside.
Yep. Yeah, so it starts on the 20th, July 20th. It's in Australia and New Zealand. So obviously your time zones are basically flipped. Now, they have manipulated the schedule to help the U.S. out a bit. So the first two U.S. games are going to be at 8 p.m. Central Time, I believe. So, you know, not terrible. Basically prime time. That's great. Now, the third U.S. game is a little bit weird because they have to play those simultaneously. So that's going to be at like 2 a.m. Central or midnight out there, which I guess is not awful for Vegas.
Right.
So, and then the knockout stage will depend on where the U.S. goes. If they win the group, I think the first knockout game is at a kind of prime time here in the U.S. So, yeah, but the times are going to be wacky. Most of the games, U.S. and some of the Western Hemisphere teams aside, are going to be in that early morning hours here in the U.S.
Yeah, Felica was here yesterday. He's headed there with Fox Sports.
Yeah.
He's going to Australia. He's going to Sydney. He's not sure if he's going to go to New Zealand for the couple of USA games. Okay, mm-hmm. So I just mentioned the five sides that are in single digits to win it all. Does that seem right to you? And are there possibilities beyond that in your opinion?
Yeah, those five, maybe six, if you want to throw Australia in because they're hosting, those are kind of your short group of favorites. And yeah, that's about right. I mean, the weird thing is every one of these teams has major questions. Like the U.S. has a couple starters who are injured, not going to be there. England's got three or four starters from last year's Euros team that aren't going to be there because of injury. Spain has players who aren't there because they're fighting with the Federation. Germany has injuries. France has injuries. Like everyone's got like two, three decent sized question marks in the lineup. But yeah, those are the right teams. But on those top six, you know, there's another five, six teams that are kind of in that second cut that, you know, if they make a run, it's not too shocking. And then, you know, it just gets filled out with teams that you'd be pretty surprised if they got as far as the quarters of the semis.
Though I think I probably can anticipate an answer to this question, because just like you have the great angle on some matches in the Premier League where you're like, just the better team. I'm betting the better team here. Yeah. You do tend to love one particular side when it comes to international tournaments. I'm wondering if we're headed that way here. What did you bet so far?
I've walked right into this one when I was out there. Kelly kind of roasted me for it, justifiably so. I didn't even realize it. It's just kind of like, hey, I've got a Germany future in this game.
Of course you do.
Tournament, which, yes. Of course I do. Yeah. But I like them to win. You know, they're at plus 650 now. You can see it get plus 750 some places still. Again, they have injuries like everybody else, but I think their midfield is really solid, and that's where they're not so injured. They were runners-up at Euros last year to England. That went to extra time. So this is obviously a good team. They're deep, which matters at this tournament because you got four knockout rounds. So they're probably, you know, maybe the second deepest team after the U.S. from, you know, like 1 to 23. So I like that. It's just it's a pretty good price. And, yeah, it's a Germany future again, and I walked right into it.
Yeah, I have a little Germany, too, as well. I take no credit for it. Tim Lawson, who's coming on the show later, he recommended it as well. I feel a little dirty about it. I feel a little icky about it. So USA, it's just the price. You don't like plus 250. Like if someone came on right here, let's close with this. If someone said, yeah, but I want to root for my bet, I want to bet USA, would you tell them not to bet the plus 250? Like you just don't like that?
No, I think it's not bad. You know, okay. It's about right. You know, U.S. is still the best team despite some injuries to Mallory Swanson, et cetera. They're still the best team here. And again, the depth is so big in a long tournament that, yeah, if I'm putting my life on the line for a team, it's definitely the U.S. here. It's not a terrible price.
All right, well, that's something. By the way, USA to reach the finals, plus 130, to reach the semis, minus 140 at DraftKings to win their group, a hefty minus 350. Paul, thank you. Great seeing you, man. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Paul Carr, everybody, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, on Twitter. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke on baseball next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Use the BetMGM bonus bet to place your next wager on any game in any sport. To receive your bonus bet, simply log into your BetMGM account today to bet on any game of your choice. Then add any type of bet on any game as your to your bet slip, I should say, and activate your bonus bet. It's that simple. There's no deposit or additional wager required. 72 hours to log in to claim and to use the bonus bet after you log in. This bonus bet is on the house. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Promotion may differ per customer. 21 and over to wager. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Promotional offers not available in Kansas, Mississippi, Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, Nevada, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, or Wyoming. Call 877-8-HOPENY or text Hope New York, that's HOPENY 467-369. In New York, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona, 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. This offer is not valid to Puerto Rico residents. Skill Alexander, it is Kelly Bidlin here on a numbers game on a Friday morning. A little golf clap. Oh, thank you guys. Appreciate that. Speaking of golf, Rose Zhang, 2 over 74, first round of the LPGA U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern Cali. You can follow him on Twitter, at Spreadopedia. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. I didn't get to watch a ton of the women's U.S. Open yesterday. As soon as I got home, she was 2 under immediately. I don't know if you saw, she shot into a hazard and double bogey. That was my first getting to sit down and watch it. So I don't know if I'm going to watch it this morning or not. Maybe I'll try not to watch this morning, because I think I was bad luck yesterday.
Are you adding any of her at 22-1, now 6 shots back heading into round two?
I added a little bit yesterday already.
There you go.
You know, it's like when you see the odds go up, you're like, well, I'll take a little bit more. Yeah, I'll probably add a little bit, but not going crazy. You know, it's like I said, it's not necessarily a secret, you know, it's not like nobody knows she's good, but I usually add to my positions, you know, during the weekend.
ZU Janet Lin from China and Hyuju Kim from Korea in the lead at 4 under heading into the second round, which has begun at Pebble Beach early this morning. A couple of golfers out on the course. All right, Jason, what did you bet baseball wise today?
Got a decent amount of stuff. I'll go through it, actually. I bet the Mets plus 113. Bet the Reds plus 103. I'm a big Reds fan this weekend. I mentioned that all, you know, last couple days. It's a big series for Brewers and the Reds. So I'm on the Reds today. I'm on the Reds. I like the over. I did not bet the over. I'm waiting to get a better first inning price. I think anything better than even money on the first inning is going to be playable later today.
Talking about the Reds game?
Yeah, the Reds game.
Okay.
I'm backing the Blue Jays, Alec Manoa. I think
okay.
Interesting situation there.
Yes, it
is. I think they were kind of, you know, obviously he needed some work, but he also needed like 2 weeks in the minors to you know, get another year of control for the Blue Jays. So what a surprise, he's back right after the deadline to get another year of control. I think he'll be all right.
Blue Jays minus 130 road favorites at Detroit, by the way, the ones Jason has given already. The Mets are plus 110 at San Diego, and then you mentioned the Reds in a big series with Milwaukee. Reds are a slight dog, plus 105 on the road against Milwaukee. Currently Brewers 2 games behind the Reds, who are 10 games above 500 now. My goodness, 49-39. Okay, what else?
The Royals. I bet the team total under there on the Royals. I bet under 3.5, minus 120 today. I've bet that a couple times in a row this week. I just don't like the Royals very much. I'm very unimpressed by everybody in their lineup except Bobby Witt, who's on pace for like 24 home runs and 45 stolen bases, and absolutely nobody cares. But other than that, you know, the Royals, just another lost season for them. Then the Braves. I think the Braves minus 101, good number there today against the Rays. I'm really starting to get interested in this AL East division race. I'm not sure the Rays are going to hold on in the second half. You give me the field versus them, I'll probably take the field, to be honest.
If I asked you right now, so current division winners as we head into the All-Star break this weekend, current division winners are, division leaders, I should say, Rays, Twins, Rangers, American League, Braves, Reds, Diamondbacks. How many of those six actually end up winning their division in the end?
I think the Braves are the only one you can put any sort of confidence on that they're going to maintain their lead. I think the Rays, 4 games is decent, but it's not a lot. everybody else, it's a competitive year. I don't think anybody's going to run away with it other than, you know, potentially the Braves, who just, it doesn't look like there's anybody in that division that can match up with them, you know, over 70 games or however much is left in the second half.
Okay, taking the Braves today. What else?
Dodgers, my last bet. Angels, you know, things change quickly in baseball. And 1 week we're talking about the Angels as a potential playoff team, and the next week we're talking about them as potential deadline sellers. So it's getting late early in Anaheim. If they don't turn things around, I mean, they've lost like 7 of the last 8. Half of their team is wounded, injured. There's just nothing you can do at a certain point. You know, it's not like they can go out there and trade for enough players to make up for Mike Trout and everybody who's hurt. So, you know, the Angels, hard decisions are coming in Anaheim. It's just a question of how much longer they can hold out for.
So, by the way, Dodgers win tonight and Diamondbacks lose. Dodgers would find themselves in first place in the NL West. Obviously, the Diamondbacks big favorites against Pittsburgh. So let's get back to that Ohtani thing. I'm on record. I don't believe they're going to part with him. I just don't, under any circumstances. You are not of that mind, it sounds like.
Well, not what I think. It's just what I, you know, the rumblings and the shift in perception in the last week or so. It went from, you know, the Angels are a playoff team, the Angels are a wild card team, to, you know, they're 6.5 games back and they've lost 7 of their last 8. And how much longer are they even going to be ahead of the Mariners? It's starting to just look, you know, when you realistically look at the situation and you see Trout's hurt and Ohtani's got a blister and Chris Drury's hurt and Zach Neto's hurt and they don't have pitching and everything. It's just, you know, it's the writing's on the wall.
It's the same old Angels. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Unfortunately, I think they got too hot too early and too many injuries are going to come back to hurt them.
Yeah. I don't think they are going to make the playoffs either, but I don't think Ohtani's going anywhere. Let me ask you about the Corbin Carroll thing from last night. So this is his, you know, again, a few games ago, shoulder tweak, had to be removed from the game, but he stayed in there for another half inning. And I was watching that one live and I was like, oh boy. And again, from a betting perspective, these are those of us who have bets in these markets. We obviously hope that nothing is long-term serious for a guy like Corbin Carroll. But if he, now last night, this looked way more serious. Diamondbacks are super optimistic because they're like, well, we haven't found anything yet. They're going to do imaging today to really find out if there's anything seriously wrong with Corbin Carroll. I mean, he keeps hurting. I mean, he keeps going off in pain. Something is clearly wrong, even though they haven't found it yet. If he is gone, let me give you a couple scenarios. If they announce that he's gone for the rest of the year, what number does Ellie De La Cruz come back in the rookie market, rookie of the year market? What will be his number if we heard that Carroll was gone for the rest of the year?
2-1. I don't know. He'd be the favorite.
By far, I think.
He wouldn't necessarily, you know, as I mentioned to you last night, like, if you look around, there are other guys doing things, you know, assuming Carroll is hurt and opening it up to other people. Yuri Perez, he had that one bad start. Obviously, you know, that's going to ding him a little bit, but gave up one run in 30 innings or 31 innings in June. And then Francisco Alvarez is putting up rookie Johnny Bench numbers.
It's very true.
This race is not over if Carroll is hurt. And I'm not a doctor, I'm not an expert, but he does have a surgically repaired shoulder.
He does
look like this is the second time in the last month that he's hurt that right shoulder. You know, shoulder injuries are weird. They, you know, it's baseball, all sorts of little things can hurt you. And wouldn't surprise me if he misses the All-Star game, if he has to take a week off or 10 days off. But, you know, an extended absence opens up the door for Ellie and all sorts of other guys.
That was going to be my second scenario, which is the most interesting scenario, which is he's not necessarily out for the year, but he's out for the old extended period of time, whether that's a month, whether that's 2 months, it's a vague thing. Then it does become this fascinating market. And I said earlier, if Ellie De La Cruz still has a plus in front of him after that, if that's the scenario, I mean, I'd grab it still, because you're right about Perez. You're right about Alvarez. But it's Ellie De La Cruz, and as long as the Reds keep winning, I mean, my goodness, one would think that he would be in the driver's seat on that. Jason, always a pleasure, man. Thank you, man.
pleasure. Don't forget about Gunnar Henderson in the American League. His numbers are crushing Josh Jung over the last 30 months. A lot of strikeouts for Jung. I think Gunnar Henderson gets it done.
Gunnar Henderson. Interesting. On the way out the door, it's a Columbo bet from Jason at Spreadopedia, by the way. Lou Finicaro, sweet Lou, joins us. UFC 290 next.